I think it is not, how do you call that? What do you, how do you say uso in English? It's not trending. fashion. It's, I don't know if you are still taking with you cash. If you are, if you have money in your pocket right now, if you have $10, for example. Do you have $10 today in your pocket? What can you buy with it? You can buy snacks, or toys, what else? Can you believe that with $10 you can buy a residential lot? Believe that. You can buy $10 residential lot where you can build your house and you have a wide backyard where you can plant your garden. Do you believe that? Really? It happened a few years ago, actually, in 2016. In one of the southwestern Manitoba municipality. What was the catch? If you're a buyer, you must build the house on that $10 residential lot within 15 months of the sale closing date. For example, today is January 22, and within 15 months from now, if you buy today, you need to build a house. But you need also to deposit $1,000. I thought it's $10. Yes, you need to deposit $1,000. But that one, $990 would be refunded after you have completed your house. But why did they sell lots at $10? Well, the population in that Manitoba municipality was decreasing, and the young people were going to the big city, and only older people were left in that particular municipality, meaning the town was dying. Dying municipalities is a community concern, not just in rural Manitoba, but also in Canada, somewhere in Canada, and also the other side of the border, they are selling something. And if you are going to go to the internet, actually, you can also search. You can have free residential lot somewhere in Canada. I don't know where, but I'm not interested just yet to go there. I want to stay here in Winnipeg. Well, it has been told that no person, no municipality has monopoly of particular problem. Each person, each community may have gone through similar problem to what others had already suffered or endured. Your concern, their concern, our concern, we have similar concern. Today, what concern caused you to be stressed, to be anxious, that no other person had struggled with it yet? Have you practically applied what we have learned previously in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7? Let's read. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That's easy. We can sing about that. We pray, Lord, take this concern that caused me to be anxious. But after a little while, that concern still causes us anxiety. We're still anxious. It just cannot disappear completely. Why? There's no changes of situation whatsoever. The problem is still there. Why? There's mental emotional restlessness until that situation, our situation, has apparently changed or progressed. But by faith, we pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit empowers us, inspires us to be alert, to be sober in mind. Why would that? Because the enemy roars and searches for confused victims to devour. Let's read again our passage in verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. While Apostle Paul has personal share of doubts, he was also disturbed by possible dangers around him. And instinctively, he wants instant remedies, instant solution of problem. And we also want that. We want our problem to be solved instantly. Nevertheless, Apostle Peter was very quick and asked help from the Lord. He realized that it's favorable to be alert. It's favorable to be sober in mind when he sensed danger, when he had problem. We can read what he did. We can read what he did in Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 to 31. This is a very familiar story. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Now, if you are to cross a body of water, how do you cross a body of water? You ride a boat, right? Or ride a raft, or swim if you could. Amazingly, Jesus walked on the water. Why did he perform such wonder? Peter walked on the water initially, but he started to sink when he saw the wind. Huh, how can you see the wind? No, not probably the wind. Most probably the strong wind caused big waves and water splashed on his face. Peter was a fisherman. He knew that big waves can drown him at the time. He must be terrified when he cried out, help, help me, Lord. And Jesus Christ reached out and helped him. Peter wanted to follow what Jesus was doing. And similarly, we pray that we may follow the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we follow Jesus, it can be terrifying to us. It may cause us to think that we might die. And that is true. But be sober of mind. Be alert in mind. When you sense that fear in your heart, ask the Lord, help, help. When Apostle Peter advised us to cast all our cares on the Lord, he also added that we have to be alert and sober in mind also. How do we do that? How can we be alert and seek his help? Problems that cause anxiety can affect us. It affects us mentally. It affects us emotionally. We can possibly be stressed, distressed, anxious, and if possible, we want immediate solution right away. And it's not easy. It's not easy to pay attention when problems confuse us mentally. If you were driving, we have to be alert and sober. If not, just a split second, there's accident. If we are emotionally disturbed, we may easily get angry when there are reckless drivers cutting our path. What more? We may disregard traffic or speed limit, caught by surprise when vehicles suddenly stop. Vehicles before us suddenly stop. We might be surprised. And there's prevalent road rage. You just can type on the internet road rage and it will show you a lot of videos there where there's accidents, road rage, people are hitting each other in the road because they are angry with each other. Why? Maybe motorists are anxious of their problems and that they have problems and another problem comes and they just get more angry. Now, if you are a student, you're in school, you were emotionally, mentally bothered by particular problem, perhaps about relationship, or perhaps about family problem, or personal problem, whatever that kind of problem, can you be attentive in your, to the lectures? It's tough, that's tough. If you are employed and you are mentally and emotionally restless because you know that there's problem in your house, problem with your children, problem with your relatives back in the Philippines, and you are just thinking about that, can you accomplish your work well? That's tough, right? So we pray for help from the Lord. We cast all our cares on Him to be alert, to be sober. This practically proves that we are trusting God. After we cast our cares, Lord, take my problem away. Help me trust you that you have already delivered solution to this problem. And then you go to your usual activity and you are alert. You do what you are supposed to be doing. You are sober. It means you trust the Lord. And even you are waiting that for the solution of the Lord, you do not want to miss the help that the Lord would deliver to us. Moreover, it is very helpful to be alert and sober, especially when you have problems, because the enemy, the devil, roars and searches for victims. When we pray for stronger faith, we can avoid devilish temptation and resist the enemy. Let's read again verse 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. The suffering you have, the suffering I have, the suffering we have, it's not isolated to us. The world, believers all over the world may have been suffering similar problem concerns. It is biblical. If it is biblical, it should be true. It is real. Everyone may experience the same kind of struggle, same kind of challenge, the same kinds a problem. You may have financial problem. Why? The Lord wants to show you that He is provider. You may have health problem. Why? The Lord may want to show you that He is God healer. We have problem physical health, mental health, spiritual health. Others have concerns about relationship at home, husband and wife relationship, father and son relationship, mother and daughter relationship, parents and children relationship, even grandchildren, even siblings, those kinds of problems. We, every one of us, may encounter those. Health, finances, relationship, these problems can cause us anxiety, stress. Anybody can be a victim. Can you agree that this world, the devil is the ruler? Can you agree with that? It is written. It is biblical. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, let's read together. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That term control, translated in this New International Version, it also includes ruler. It means authority. What concern has bothered you that others did not encounter yet? Do you have any concern that you think it's only you had encountered it? And the devil may try to stir and cause that particular concern to appear as if it's the end of the world. That's the work of the devil. So when you sense that and it makes you trouble, it troubles you, pray, Lord, take these concerns from my heart, from my mind. Let your peace prevail in me. We have to resist him. We have to resist the devil. How? How do we resist? We do not say, hey, devil, I want to fight with you. It's not something like that. That's not the kind of resistance that we do. What do we do? We do not pay attention to the temptation of the devil. Instead, we cry for help from God. Peter had a temptation to just think of the problem he had when he was drowning. Instead, he focused on the Lord. Lord, help me, help me. We cry for help because the grace of God is sufficient for everyone. He is the God of all grace. He has grace for every person, believers or not. The Lord has solution to any problem. Can you agree with that? Believe that God has good purposes when he allows problem. That is how we resist the devil. Well, this problem I have, it bothers me, but I believe, I trust that God has a good purpose for this. It's tough for me, but I believe. And continue to ask the Lord to fill you with joy and peace. Don't stop until you sense that peace. When you have that peace of mind and peace of heart, you still have that concern, but you will not be bothered anymore. That is how the peace of God reigns in our hearts. So keep asking, Lord, this problem of mine is still there. It just cannot go away. Keep on asking. Some of us may have unspoken concern. We may not want others to know what concern we have because we may feel embarrassed to tell others about it. And some problems have no immediate concern that we may think about. And that's very tough for us. There's this recurring problem. You have problem, and then tomorrow you still problem. The other day, the next day, you still have problem. Health problem, for example. One health problem in the Western world is having hypertension or diabetes. Those are the problems of rich people, they say. And Western world have that. You have problem today, it cannot be solved. But even if you have that kind of problem, you still trust the Lord, you still have peace. That's how we resist the devil. Consider and reflect on this. What problem do you have that is far worse than death? Death is the worst problem of man. Death is the problem of man that no human being can solve and has solved and will ever solve. We don't have any solution about death. This is why everyone that goes through this, we all die if the Lord Jesus would not return anytime soon. The cross, the empty cross. We look at the empty cross, what idea that comes to our mind? It reminds us that the Lord Jesus was taken down from the cross. He was buried and he resurrected. It would be good if it should be empty tomb, right? So that we know that the empty tomb reminds us of the Lord Jesus' resurrection. But anyhow, the empty cross reminds us that Christ has resurrected from the dead. He has solved the problem, the worst problem of human, death. He had personally proved that no concern, no problem, no difficulty is too hard for him to solve. There's no hard issues that he cannot solve. Now, how do you interpret what it narrated in John chapter 11, verse 1 to 6? Let's read this together. John chapter 11, verse 1 to 7. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sick will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Scholars suggest that Lazarus and his sister Martha and Mary may have been orphans, so that they really cared much for each other. Think about this. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, they care for each other. Did Jesus love these siblings because of their deep concern and care for each other? It is possible. Literally, it recorded that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? You believe that? It was written, it was recorded. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet the Lord waited Lazarus to die. He was sick. He came to know that he was sick. The sisters of Lazarus informed Jesus, "Our brother, the Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. Come and heal him. They want him to be healed." And yet, what did Jesus do? He waited. He let Lazarus die. He let the sisters of Lazarus grieve. He let them mourn in loneliness. He let those he loved suffer a problem that no human can solve. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and he did not respond to their request that Lazarus should be healed. Instead, he let Lazarus die. Jesus waited until Lazarus was legally declared as dead by authorities. He waited for that day so that everyone know that Jesus died. And actually, when they returned to Judea, that would take them about 2 days or more if they are very fast walking, coming from Galilee. Lazarus was already in the tomb. He was already buried. Then he went and brought Lazarus back to life. Jesus performed that miracle for the glory of God, so that Christ may be glorified through it. Personally, think about this, reflect. Can you accept that the Lord had intentionally arranged series of difficult circumstances to test us? Can you accept that? By faith, we trust that he will deliver solution to problems in his perfect time. He will be glorified in our life. Amen. The solution that we may be thinking may not be the solution that the Lord wants us to see. If the solution we want to see is the one that the Lord would deliver, praise him still. Surely we will have personal encounters, problems common to mankind. God has designed it that we can never have problem-free kind of life in this world. Why is that? Because problem-free kind of life can only be experienced when we reach his heaven. That's the plan of the Lord. Additionally, these difficult concerns, they are also instruments, godly instruments, to test us, to test our faith in the Lord. The Lord knows our faith, where we are, the level of our faith, but sometimes we deceive ourselves. We think we are trusting the Lord every time when everything is good. But when difficult problem comes, that is when we also know, do we really have strong faith in God? When Lazarus died, his sisters still believed Jesus, but their faith grew stronger when they practically witnessed, saw that Christ restored Lazarus back to life. Similarly, we grow stronger in our faith when the Lord solves our problem. Concerns may cause us anxiety, and we pray for stronger faith. The sufficient grace of God will become realistic to us when he restores and strengthens us. Let's read again verse 10 and 11. In the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace, he has sufficient grace for everyone. He has grace for you, for me, for us, for everyone. Believe it or not yet, it is real. In this world, the Lord allows everyone to experience suffering for a while, not for eternity. But for us believers, we believe, we seek him. We ask for his help. He helps us grow stronger in our faith. After we overcome the problem, we grow stronger. And the Lord called each of us believers to enjoy eternity in Him, not in this world. So when we face challenges in life, we seek the Lord for help. We ask the Lord, Lord, help me. And we experience much of His grace, that His grace is real. Then we grow strong, we grow firm and steadfast in our faith in Him. But there are times when we are terribly bothered by problems. What problem do you have right now? And there's that temptation to quit trusting God. Now, here is an advice. If you have difficult problem, come and join us. Every prayer meeting, let's cry together to the Lord. Don't try to quit, because the more you quit, the more you lose. The Lord declared in John 10:27-29, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Can you believe that? You say amen to that? May God continue to strengthen your faith. This declaration of Christ, where no one can snatch us out of the hand of His hand, and no one can snatch out of the hand of the Father, it may have inspired the doctrine, once saved, always saved. Have you heard that before? USAS. Once saved, always saved. Truly, the Lord won't let His sheep perish forever. He may allow us to have struggles, but not to perish forever. The Lord Himself restores, strengthens us for us to persevere. Persevere in our spiritual journey. Christ is the living water. He refreshes our soul. We grow strong. We grow firm and steadfast in our faith in Him. Have you accepted the invitation of Christ in John chapter 7, verse 37-39? He said, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this, he means the Spirit, whom those who believe in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. In this world, we thirst for many things. What things do you thirst for? There's this ambition, want to be popular, want to be powerful, those kind of things. This world offers temporal gratification. You can be satisfied for a while. Just parents, observe your children. You buy toy today, maybe you would love that toy for a while, and then you will find that toy was just there in the corner, it has not been played for a little while. Why? It only shows they are excited about that for a little while. There was a time, it's true to me, there was a time I was teasing Louis, can you buy me that? There's this, like, what do you call that exercise where you are sitting and watching TV, and it's like you are pedaling while watching, something like that. And maybe you just want to please me. And Louis bought one for me. You know how many times I use that? I can only count with my fingers. Not less than 10 times I use it. That reminds me that, yeah, it should be good, but I have those kind of experience too. People want progress. People want popularity. People want power. Now, people who are popular, they think before they were popular, it was really great to be popular, to have a lot of subscribers. And then they have that stress because there are a lot of paparazzi coming. They're taking pictures of them. And they don't want it. They want their privacy. Power of some sort. Somebody wanted to be prime minister. Did you hear about that? And because he dreamed and she was in high school. She said, "What's your dream?" "I want to be prime minister." Indeed, she became prime minister of New Zealand. After 6 years, she just quit yesterday or the other day. Why? She just cannot take it. Not everything we think that is nice is for us. Power is good, popularity is good, progress is good, but not everything is wired, created for such. So try not to aspire the thing you are not. God had created you. Instead, pray, "Lord, what is it that you have planned for me?" Keep praying about that and try to follow Him. Give your best. When you follow Him, you may not be as powerful as leaders. You may not be as popular as the movie stars. You may not have progress like the billionaires, but you have peace in your heart. That is the best life you can have if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that you are doing what God has planned for you. See, for example, take similar career path. Everyone wants to be, if you are a Filipino, you want your children to be nurse, accordingly. I heard about that. Or you want your children to be an engineer. But perhaps the Lord wants your children to become a medical doctor or a lawyer or a carpenter, I don't know. Or a policeman, I don't know. We may take similar career path, but not necessarily have similar success. Why is that? Because God allows various kinds of challenges. It proves us, to prove us, to help us know that He created us, each of us, very uniquely. Even local churches are unique. Not one church is the same with the other. But we try to emulate, we try to copy ministries that other churches are successful with, their ministry approach. Southern Baptist, you must have Sunday school, something like that. Or you have this and that. We may do that. We may still copy until we ourselves discover our identity. That should be our aim, to discover what is the identity of the Maples Evangelical Church. And that should be, we come, others would come to know because of our identity. Our local church, all local church, we have problems. What problem do we have in the past? We have church split. Every local church had problem of church split. And still, others would go to other church hoping that they would not experience church split. But have you read any church that copied another church of their solution to church split and had success? Why don't they copy their solution? And yet, they copy that ministry approach. Well, despite of confusion of churches, among churches, Not a few believers have grown stronger in their faith. We have to accept that it's a reality. Just as there is a reality about divorce, even Christians. Did you know that it has been in the statistics, studies, or census, accordingly, I don't know when, but there was a time when Baptists have the highest rate of divorce rate among evangelicals. That's very sad problem, but it's a reality. In this world, there's no problem-free kind of life. Problem-free kind of life in this world, no. But God is with us. God is with us. Let us seek His help for us to grow strong, firm, and steadfast. Christ Jesus declared in John chapter 10, verse 10 to 11, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And that is what the Lord Jesus did for us. Lay down his life for us to have life eternal. The devil is compared to a thief. The purpose of the devil is to steal from us the joy, the peace that the Lord had given us, kills and destroys our life. Christ, the good shepherd, he already sacrificed for us to have fullness of life. Absolutely, it is only by his grace through faith that we keep on trusting him despite difficulties of life. That's by his grace. God himself strengthens us. This is why we continue to gather together, help one another, encourage one another. The Lord allows struggles, confusions for us to practically prove if we have grown firmly, if we have grown strong, if we still rely on him steadfastly. Like sheep, our tendency is to follow our instinct. The sheep, you've been observant to sheep. If you go and find somewhere where there are sheep, when there's this green grass, they just bow down their head and graze and graze and graze and eat grass till they are full, not minding the problems surrounding them. They just keep on eating. That is the instinct of sheep. They do not mind about dangers. They don't know about dangers. We cannot see beyond. We can only see what is before us, but the Lord sees our future. The Lord sees, knows who you would be, where you would be living, what your work would be. The Lord knows that. God has called us to eternal glory in Christ. That's our eternal future, to be with him forever. Well, anyway, in heaven, it says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, let's read. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, why is that? Why is it that those who are in heaven keep praising God? Why? Day and night. What comes to your mind? Do you know why they never stop praising God in heaven? Because they are filled with gratitude for endless grace they experience. Have you seen a person, whenever he comes to you, he would thank you? Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You just have that overflowing gratitude in your heart, and that you really want to thank. You do not know how to thank, so that your thankfulness, your gratitude should be enough for that person to know that you are very thankful, but still you want to say thank you. because of that overflowing gratitude. And that is what they experience in heaven. They are filled with gratitude for the endless grace of God they experience. God does not force anyone, does not say, this is what you do in heaven. No. He would not say that we would be praising God in heaven. Is there a command in the Bible? Enter heaven and praise God forever, him forever and ever. Why is that? Why is there no command? Because we praise the Lord for his eternal grace instantaneously, spontaneously. We thank him when we sense that gratitude of heart. When we are thankful, we just want to say, thank you, Lord. The God of all grace will himself restore, make us strong, make us firm and steadfast. Amen.